welcome back to another episode of the Cantina Talk podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Walsh, and joining me as always is Aiden. Today, we will be giving our thoughts on the original trilogy. This is the second part in our three-part series. Last week's was our thoughts on the prequel trilogy. Next week will be our thoughts on the sequel trilogy. So I'm going to hand it over to Aiden to start us off with his initial thoughts on the trilogy overall.
So my initial thoughts on the trilogy overall are it's the best trilogy in Star Wars, and I think it will probably always be the best trilogy in Star Wars, just based on that it's the original and the nostalgia, and just this is the one that birthed So I think that this one's the best. What about you, Joshua?
Well, my initial thoughts are that it has the best mix of both story and actual film, like actual creation of film mixed together. So as we both agreed, the prequels have probably the best story, but the execution was not very good. And then the sequel trilogy, we both agreed, had great execution of nothing. It was executing without a very solid story. And the original trilogy has both of those happening over the three movies.
Yeah, I agree.
I say we start off with our thoughts on A New Hope as to begin this, to begin our thoughts on it today.
Yep, so A New Hope, obviously episode 4. In my opinion, I think that A New Hope is the most rewatchable Star Wars movie. It's not my favorite. Empire is. We'll get to that. But A New Hope, I think, is the most rewatchable. I mean, it's the way it starts off with Princess Leia's ship, the Tantive IV, get chased down by Darth Vader's ship, and it opens up with C-3PO and R2, and you see their journey, how they meet our eventual hero, Luke. And then Luke goes on the journey with Obi-Wan they meet Han and Chewie, and they get in the Falcon. And I mean, it's just it's a brilliant way to open up the movie. And with everything with Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin and Princess Leia, kind of intermixed with everything going on with Luke. I think that this movie also does a really good job of world building. Obviously, it's the first Star Wars movie that ever came out, originally just titled Star Wars. And I think that this movie, I mean, just from, you know, the Death Star to, we've never even been to Alderaan, but, like, you know that they're a peaceful planet with no weapons, and Tatooine, and Yavin 4, and then they mentioned Dantooine, where there was a rebel base there at one point. What's that all about? Just the world building that A New Hope does is really great. And I think that one thing we didn't get into in the prequel episode was the score of the movies. And I think the prequels have the second best trilogy score overall, but I think the best obviously goes to the original trilogy. I mean, the score in all three of these movies, especially episode 5, but even in episode 4, just the introducing the Star Wars theme and the Force theme, I mean, they just did a really great job. And I know we've talked about it in our best scenes. There's just so many good things about this movie. The twin sun scene, just seeing it, being introduced to Darth Vader too, kind of skipped over that, but I mean, there's so much good that happens in this movie, and it's my second favorite movie, and I think it's my second favorite movie by quite a bit.
Yep, I'm going to go off that. I agree. It is my second favorite movie as well. And on rewatchability, it's right up there in my top three most rewatchable of the movies. And it's got, like, as you were saying, the world building is absolutely incredible. We get to see so much new stuff. And you have to look back. This was made in 1977. And this was before, like, big summer blockbusters were really a thing. Other than for, like, Jaws. Like, there weren't big summer blockbusters. And Star Wars pretty much just became king of that and really took over and rode with it for a good long while. and it pretty much it gave birth to both this podcast and a whole world of people who want to who love these movies. And as
And
much as we would complain about the fan base for not knowing what they want and how, but that goes in part to how diverse it is. But this is the one that started all, and it's almost all in agreement that this is a great movie. There's some problems with it. I'm not going to say there aren't, but overall, this movie's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And going into what I forgot, we've completely forgot the prequel trilogy with music and everything. And this movie really, this is what solidified John Williams as the greatest modern composer, especially for movies and recent memory. And he with song with the main theme, the fourth suite, and even the Cantina song. And we also, and you forgot to mention this, this is pretty, it gives a location of the place where that named our podcast.
Yeah.
And but we get introduced to so many great characters and very good, and especially a very good character arc from Luke from this movie, from wanting to go to Tashi Station to pick up power converters to being the rebel hero who destroyed the Death Star and watched his mentor fall to the hands of the most evil man in the galaxy. It's such a good movie, and it's pretty much, it's so great at setting up a world of so many other great movies to come.
Yep, I agree. So, are you ready to move on to Empire?
I am.
All right, so going into the worst Star Wars movie of all time, Empire Strikes Back. No, I'm kidding.
Awful movie.
The best Star Wars movie of all time. And it, I mean, this movie is, well, I think A New Hope is the most rewatchable. And I say that because I think it's just the most fun. It's just an adventure movie. This one kind of brings in like the weight of the story. Like, obviously at the end you have the I am your father scene, which is just a huge reveal, obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest, movie twists of all time. And I think just going through that, and it kind of everything that happens in the movie is consistent with the title. The Empire is definitely striking back. I mean, you see at the beginning, Darth Vader comes in to the Hoth system and is just wrecking shop down there, and the rebels are escaping, and the Falcon's broke, and they have to kind of maneuver their way through and are getting tracked by Boba Fett. They've got a bunch of bounty hunters out to find them. Luke's going to Dagobah to get trained with Yoda, which. You want to talk about more movies or a better movie score? I mean, the Yoda theme, the asteroid belt theme, and even the Imperial March was introduced in this movie. So I mean, the music is it took a step up from A New Hope, in my opinion, and I think there's just so many more memorable, impactful scenes in this movie than A New Hope, and I mean. This movie, I don't think, will ever be beaten as the best Star Wars movie of all time. And if it is, I cannot wait to watch the movie that beats it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree this is the best one. And what really sets this one apart from the rest of the Star Wars movies is the fact that it is the most, it is the cine, it is a cinematic masterpiece overall. Like, A New Hope has some problems, and other than like maybe one nitpick in the whole movie that I can give for Empire, it is practically flawless. It is such a great build off of A New Hope. And it, like, the title is perfectly in line with what the movie's about. The Empire just keeps pounding on the Rebel Alliance. And they pretty, and it's not all that much of a happy ending. I mean, we lose Han, the rebels barely escape alive, and they're pretty much on their last leg at the end of this movie. And it really shows off, like, it shows, it really builds characters in this movie. It shows the relationship between Leia and Han, which is incredible. It shows the relationship between Luke and Vader. And we get introduced to the kingpins of the light side and the dark side, with Yoda and the Emperor being introduced in this movie. And Yoda being quite possibly my favorite character, is without him in this movie, it wouldn't be as good as it is. And it probably would be worse than A New Hope without Yoda. Because I think that whole...
Yeah. Let's just talk about Yoda for a minute. I mean, Yoda is just this green puppet, like this lifeless puppet that... And what a job by Frank Oz to bring him to life. I mean, can you imagine if Yoda didn't work? Like, how big of a risk they took with the Yoda character in this movie? I mean, and it's just incredible that they found a way. And what a job of acting by Mark Hamill, you know, to be able to act with a puppet and act like it's, you know, a living, breathing organism. I mean, that's just, it's really incredible that, like, that actually worked out.
And, yeah, like, it's insane how, like, this is, it's so hard. Like, we saw in the prequels, it's not easy to interact with something that's not living and breathing right there. And even though a puppet is different from a CGI thing, it is shown in the prequels, like, Sam Jackson is, we both agree, is one of our favorite actors. And he's really great at his job. But seeing him act with Yoda is almost odd in the prequels. Because it's not... Because you could almost tell that Yoda's not really there. But with this, even though he's there, he's just a puppet. And he just... He can't use that much... He can't do that much movement. But that... The puppeteering crew that worked with him was so great at their job. And that they were able to bring so much life into this fake thing. Just this inanimate, pretty much stuffed animal just sitting there. And they were able to bring life to it and make him such an iconic character. And this also led to other characters like that. Like Jabba the Hutt was a big lifeless puppet. And he is insane. He is so memorable from Return of the Jedi. Like this really brought forth a great, a very strong use of puppeteering in movies. And he brings so much life into this movie. And the sets and the atmosphere in this movie are so perfect. You get to see, like on Dagobah, everything seems like it's alive. It seems like everything is living and breathing on that planet. And then on Bespin and Cloud City, everything just feels so futuristic. Everything feels like, you know, this isn't our planet. This isn't something that would be happening on our planet, the way that it's just shaped. And Hoth is, the frozen tundra of Hoth just looks insanely, it makes you feel cold. You could be sitting there in a 90 degree room and still feel cold when watching the scene, watching scenes from Hoth. It is just so well made, and it's insane that it was so well made, only being the second movie they ever released.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really good job with that one. You ready to move on to Return?
Yep.
All right, Return of the Jedi, Episode 6, came out 3 years after Empire Strikes Back and 6 years after A New Hope. And this one, I think... while we both agreed Revenge of the Sith is the best prequel movie by a long shot, and we'll get to our thoughts on The Rise of Skywalker, but I can safely say that I think Return of the Jedi is the best trilogy closer out of all three trilogies. Would you agree?
Yes, and I would say I agree with that, and help that the two setup movies were so good.
Yeah, I do agree. And now, I also think... saying that Return of the Jedi is the best closer of the trilogies, I do think that, like, I guess maybe other than the sequel trilogy, that this one is the worst of the three movies of this trilogy, though. I think that Return of the Jedi, while still magnificent and very rewatchable. I just think that this one is nowhere near as good as New Hope or Empire Strikes Back. They're still, I mean, it's got my favorite lightsaber battle of all time in it, which is crazy to think about that it's the worst of these three movies with the best lightsaber battle of all Star Wars, in my opinion. It also has the best space battle in Star Wars history, in my opinion. There, when they go to blow up the Death Star for a second time, and I think it's really cool how they made that battle scene. They had the space battle going on at one time with Lando and the whole Rebel fleet, and then on the Forest Moon of Endor, they had the ground battle with Han and Leia and 3PO and R2, and then they had, in the Death Star, they had Luke and Vader and the Emperor going at it, and I think like that was really well cut together, really well made, that at the end, you know, that Han and Leia didn't know, well, Han didn't know if Luke got off the Death Star before they blew it up, and it was cool to see the, just like the three different battles and the kind of worrying about the other characters and stuff like that. But I think the weak parts of it are definitely, in my opinion, the Ewoks. And I didn't really care. I mean, some people absolutely don't like the Ewoks. I think it's a little ridiculous that these little tree bears are able to take down a galactic empire army that is taking over the galaxy. But, you know, whatever. We'll just go with it that they're able to do that. I also like, another thing I like about this movie is that there's kind of two storylines that we go through. You've got the beginning of the movie, because George Lucas wanted to bring Han Solo back. We have the storyline to rescue Han, and we get to see Luke as a Jedi Master going into Tatooine and with the plan to rescue Han with Leia and Lando and 3PO and R2. And, you know, they eventually escape and blow up Jabba, and then they end up going to the real story, which is to blow up the second Death Star. I think that was really cool how they had kind of two different story points in Return of the Jedi.
Yep, I would have to agree with those statements. And this, I would agree, is the worst of the trilogy, but it's such a great closer. And I'm going to go negative to positive here. And my negatives with it are, as I agree, the Ewoks. As much as I still love them, and I don't think the movie would be the same without them, but this is a point where Star Wars got too kid-friendly for its own good. And as George Lucas has said, it's always been movies for kids. They're not supposed to be adult-oriented, R-rated movies that only adults should be watching. They're kid movies. Kids should sit down, watch them, enjoy them, and immerse themselves in such an amazing world. But this is when it became a little too kid-forward. Like, you could sit a four-year-old down, have them watch 4 and 5, and I guarantee they would still love it. But once you introduce the Ewoks, it kind of starts the, well, let's bring in Jar Jar Binks and all that stuff. And it's not that the Ewoks were bad. It's more or less what they brought following them. And then some things like, and then the second Death Star is kind of stupid. Like, I think Emperor Palpatine's just a tad bit smarter than that to realize, well, the first one didn't work. Let's build a bigger one. Yeah. Like, I have a hard time believing that he is dumb enough to do that. Now, of course, he could be, because he's evil, and evil is dumb.
Evil will always triumph, because good is dumb.
Yeah, and who won?
Lone Star.
Exactly. Anyway, but going into the greats of this movie, it is all, again, with all three of these movies, very well shot. The music is excellent. And then you get to, like, that third act is incredible with the space fight, the ground fight, and the lightsaber battle. And what really sets this movie apart from the other two in this series is the actual relationship between Luke and Vader. And it's a real, like, Luke doesn't want to hurt Vader. He doesn't want to be the one to kill him. He wants to save him, bring him back, and just try and find that good that he knows is in him. And I think that's incredible. And Vader is trying to be that calm, cool, collected guy who's like, no, there's no good in me. You are fighting for a lost cause here. And the Emperor is excellent when he's just egging on Luke, just trying to get him to show his inner anger and use the dark side. And when you get that scene where Luke cuts off Vader's arm and realizes that he did the same thing to Vader what Vader did to him, and he throws down his lightsaber and says he won't fight anymore. He's a Jedi. It's not the Jedi way. It's absolutely incredible to watch that happen. And this movie's still great. And if they ever, like, if I ever hear different on it, I argue it, and I love this movie. It's just, there are problems with it that there shouldn't be. And I believe George Lucas was a little smarter than that. And I feel like some of the things he was full on, like the Vader Luke go and then that rest of that third act. But some things he was just a tad bit lazy on. Like the plan to rescue Han was kind of stupid. Sending him in like waves of eight people. Sending him in like each person go, you go in now. And then C-3PO R2, you go in and try to bargain even though it's not going to work. And then Leia, you dress as a bounty hunter and threaten to blow the place up. Like, it's not very practical when they could have just had Luke walk in with his lightsaber, slay everyone, and then take Han back with him. But other than that, this movie is absolutely incredible, and I love every bit of it.
Yeah, this trilogy is a masterpiece for sure. But before we go on to give it our grade, our letter grade, I would like to ask you about what your thoughts on the special editions are. Obviously, that's the movies we've grown up with, is the special editions. I don't know if you've ever seen the
originals. I've seen clips from the originals and how they've changed, but I've never seen like the originals set into, like, I've never sat down and watched only the original version. I've only ever seen the special effects full movie-wise.
Yeah, so I've seen, my uncle had, I don't know if he still has, the VHSs of Star Wars. Like, I don't know if they're actually, like, the legit originals, because I know George Lucas has made some changes throughout the years. But just, you know, the major changes that
the
were
1997 made. Special editions, yeah.
Yeah, you know the changes that have been made. You want to just talk a little bit about what your thoughts are, like whether you like the, for example, did your opinions on like Han shot first or them remaking, putting Ian McDiarmid in as the Emperor in Episode 5 or the CGI Jabba scene in Episode 4, just stuff like that.
So, in my opinion, it's not like they're not all bad. If I would prefer that there weren't special editions, I feel like there's more bad than good. But they're not all bad decisions. So, some of the bad decisions are just the random CGI monster things. In the, like, not the, like, it'd be like the stormtroopers riding on, like, one of those big beasts.
Yeah, like,
and just walking around. Like, there's no point to have that in. But then have the good things, like, I liked the Jabba thing. It could have been shot better, but it could have been like, I wish it was made like a little newer so it didn't look like it was made in 1427 with that CGI. But then, and then I liked the adding of Ian McDiarmid. And then I liked that they added the thump when the stormtrooper hits his helmet. Like, those things I love. I think they are just great additions and they're awesome.
But then you get the, what do you think about Anakin at the end of Episode 6? You like the Hayden Christensen, or do you wish they kept the old guy?
Yeah, I'm wishy-washy on that. I really couldn't. If it were either of them, I really wouldn't care that much. If it were Hayden Christensen in there, I'd be like, oh, it's Hayden Christensen. He was in the first one. But then if it's the old guy, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's probably what he would have looked like if he didn't go to the dark side by now. That's not very a big concern of mine. I don't like the Han didn't shoot first. I don't like the just random additions they added, like stormtroopers riding on those beast things and just walking around, or like the stupid comedy bits were like a like in I think it's Return of the Jedi, a frog's hopping by a bigger frog and the bigger frog just eats him.
I don't mind that.
And my least favorite is the Luke screaming when he falls down the shaft at the end of Empire Strikes Back, because he wasn't scared to do it. He made up his mind he would rather die than go back and then join the dark side. So I think the scream kind of undermines the whole point of him jumping. Just yeah. Some things they shouldn't have done, and some things they were great ideas. Like they were in Episode 4, they originally had Jabba in there. Of course, Jabba was just a fat guy, not a massive slug creature, but like
they did shoot a scene with an actual human. They also shot a scene with like a puppet, like a Jabba puppet.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the Jabba we know today. And like in the original scene they used with the person, like they had to reanimate him, like stepping on Jabba's tail or whatever. And like that, so that one I kind of like, and I kind of don't like it. Could have been, I think it should have been done better with the CGI, because it does not look very good, and it looks very dated today. But it's fine. Like the actual scene is fine, and I would prefer the special editions just never were made, and they were left alone. But it's kind of what we have to live with, and it's not like they completely ruin the movies. Well, that stormtrooper shouldn't have been there walking around on that thing. Awful movie. No, it's just, well, why the heck, why are we doing a 5-second panning shot over stormtroopers that make no difference in the world, and they're just standing there talking?
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion on the special editions. I would prefer them not to be there, but they had some good things that they did with them, so.
I agree.
I'm fine that they're there.
So, you want me to give my rating first, or you want to go?
Yeah, you can give your rating first.
So, my rating of the original trilogy, this is going to be no shocker to anybody. It's going to be an A+, and if we could go higher, I would go higher. I think that this is just the perfect trilogy. Like I said at the beginning, I don't think that any trilogy is really ever going to be better than this one. I hope there will be, because that means we get great Star Wars content. But I think that this is the best trilogy we're going to get, and I'm giving it an A+.
So I'm going to give it an A for the fact that I think New Hope is an A, Empire's an A+, and then Return's an A-. So I'm just going right in the middle. It's an A. And I think an A+ trilogy would be a Lord of the Rings or a Indiana Jones, excluding Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think those are A+ trilogies. This one's just a flat A.
They're all A+ trilogies.
I think this one's a flat A mainly because of Return of the Jedi just kind of being a little subpar to the other two, and having just a few too many dumb things that I don't care for to really push it to that A+. If it were like a written grade, like a 95%, it'd probably be about a 98%. But that still doesn't give it the 100 for an A+.
I think that this Star Wars trilogy, I mean, I haven't put too much thought into this, and I think the only competition in my eyes for best movie trilogy of all time, I think would have to be, the only one would be Lord of the Rings. I mean, I've never seen The Godfather 3, and I've heard it's not nearly as good as the 1 and 2. If 3 stuck the landing, then that one would be up there. I know 1 and 2, I've seen those are phenomenal, but I think that this might be like the second best movie trilogy of all time.
So so my favorite trilogy ever, and that it would be Indiana Jones, excluding Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's not a movie. I don't accept it as a movie.
I mean,
I do not accept that as a movie.
I think that's the original Star Wars trilogy is better than the Indiana Jones.
I would disagree with that. And as much as I love Star Wars, I think Indiana Jones, each one other than Crystal Skull, was a masterpiece. And Temple of Doom being the only one with like a couple dumb ideas, and my only dumb idea with that is that Willie screams too much, and that's about it. That's my only problem with any of the three movies.
I don't know, man. I think that Star Wars is better.
And I have not seen all the way through the Two Towers of Lord of the Rings. I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't seen the entire movie.
You've never watched the whole Two Towers? What do you
mean? No. I've watched Fellowship, and I've watched Return of the King, like, all the way through, but I've never watched...
Two Towers might be the best one.
Well, I haven't seen the whole thing, so I can't agree or disagree.
Well, get on that.
I will. But I, and as much as I love this, this is still going to sit as an A in my mind for the fact that Return of the Jedi just screwed up few too many things. Now, if this would have been an A movie and we would have two A's and an A+, I probably would have given it an A+ for the fact that Empire deserves any grade better than an A+. Like, that's almost an insult to Empire, just giving it an A+. Like, on a written grade, it'd be like 116.
116.
But I think that I'm going to stick with my A, and that's not saying these trilogies are in any way bad. Like, they're still phenomenal movies, all three of them. And
so you're saying is you hate Star Wars. Got it.
It's the worst thing ever. But, like, if any three of those movies were in either one of the trilogies, either one of the prequel or sequel trilogies, they would just be made so much better. And that's barring they're in replace of the worst movies. They would just be made so phenomenally, so much better if they were on the same par as Return.
Yep, and so you ready to wrap this up, Josh?
Yep, it was a fun one today. Tune in next week for our thoughts on the sequel trilogy, quite possibly the most controversial of the trilogies, and we'll give our thoughts on that.
Yep, and make sure to follow us, the Cantina Talk on Twitter. I believe it's talk_cantina.
It is.
And you can follow me at AidenWalsh00, and I believe Josh, yours is Big Josh.
Big, right? Josh Walsh, at Big Josh Walsh. Follow us both on Twitter, and then follow our account on Twitter for any upcoming Cantina Talk news.
Yep, and we post polls on there that I'm sure you guys have heard the results of in a couple of episodes. But that'll wrap it up, and see you guys.